All right, if you have your Bible, I want you to take it out, please, if you haven't yet, and turn with me to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, and today we are looking at lesson number 2 in our series on Peter, and it's about making disciples. Making disciples. Our theme today is a lesson on obedience. A lesson on obedience. One of the most foundational building blocks in the life of a growing Christian is obedience. Obedience. It's part of our theme. We've probably not seen the banner very much this year. Some of us, other than the devotional headline that I send out every day, trust and obey. That's our theme, by the way, in case you forgot. Trust and obey in 2020. And we've had to do a lot of that, haven't we? But half of that is obey. And I've said it for many, many years now. If you've been around Anchor Baptist Church, you've heard me say something like this, that if we would only obey the part of the Bible that we already know and understand, we would see revival. Because knowing information and knowing biblical truth isn't the whole package. We need to know what God wants us to do, and then what? We need to do it. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so, the necessity of obedience. And I don't think we can overemphasize that too much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to open your word, looking again at the life of Peter. And I hope and pray, God, that we have a desire to be your disciple, to be your obedient disciple. Please, God, be glorified in this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, as we looked at the life of Peter, we talked about the call that was made to Peter. And now we will learn the necessity, as I said just a moment ago, of obedience. The whole book of Deuteronomy, now we're not going back to Deuteronomy, but the whole book of Deuteronomy is themed around two things. Number one, the blessing for obedience, the blessing for obedience, and number two, the curses for disobedience. If you obey, this will happen. If you don't obey, this will happen. And by the way, that continues on today. God created me. God redeemed me. God is entitled to my obedience. God created you. God saved you. God deserves for you to be obedient to him, and obedient fully and wholly and from the heart. As Christians, we should constantly be growing in the knowledge of our Savior. How do we do that? We do that in his word. We can read and study and memorize and meditate, and we should be doing that. We should be doing that. I've got fog here on my lenses. Let me see if I can get them a little bit better. The hanky didn't work too well. We're going to the suit coat in a minute. We'll go to the tie. That's really about all a tie is good for. Wiping your glasses. So if you don't have glasses, you need to get glasses so you can have your tie make some difference in your life. But obedience. Obedience is part of the learning. As we obey what we're learning, the learning becomes not just head knowledge, it becomes a part of us. And then eventually we begin to obey and we really don't even realize we're obeying. Why? Because it's become a part of us. It isn't just a Sunday school lesson. It isn't just our daily Bible reading. It's a way of life. And again, the more that we obey, the more that becomes a part of us. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear God speaking to you? Now, I don't think we need to hear him saying audibly, you know, "Ben, do you hear me?" I don't believe God necessarily speaks in that way today, but I believe that he speaks through his word. I know he speaks through his word. I know he speaks through circumstances in my life. He speaks through other believers in my life, and he speaks through the preaching and teaching, again, of his word. "But my sheep hear my voice." If you're truly saved, you're going to be led of the Holy Spirit of God. There's going to be something inside of you bubbling over that wants to obey the word of God, that wants to obey what God has for your life. It's part of being a child of God. And again, our song, our hymn of the year, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." All right, we have an outline. Let's go through this outline now as we get into Luke chapter 5 in verse number 1. Let's read the text, Luke 5, 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that would be Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. I mean, can you put yourself in his sandals? I mean, all night fishing. And what does Jesus say? Go fish some more. The problem was they had caught nothing. It wasn't just that they had labored. Peter says, we've taken nothing. I kind of see him saying that, exhaling. You know, when you read the Bible, read it as if it's real, because it is real, right? And he's not going to be sitting on the boat with enthusiasm saying, Master, we've toiled all night and caught. No, he's down. He's exasperated. He's tired. He's emptied of any strength. We've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Number one, we see in this verses of scripture, number one, the challenge. The challenge. Peter returned after a fruitless night of fishing, frustrated, discouraged, exhausted, spent. And the Lord says, Peter, I need to use your ship, and I need to use your ship not necessarily at this point first for fishing, but he says, I need to use your ship for a pulpit. Do you see that? In verse number 3, it says, and he, Jesus, sat down and taught the people out of the ship. There were so many people there that Jesus needed to kind of get out on the water a little bit so that there would be room. I mean, they were thronging and flocking around him. You see that in verse number 1. They pressed upon him. It doesn't mean necessarily that they got up and pushed him, but it was getting so close. Have you ever been on the SkyTrain? Not right now, I guess. But I remember being on the SkyTrain several times going home from maybe a Canucks game or a big event like that in downtown, and you're like this. Physical distancing? It ain't happening. Not in those days. That seems so long ago, doesn't it? That seems like 20 years ago or something. But it probably was last year if you went to any event like that. But anyway, they were pressing upon him. There were so many people there. Jesus said, I need your boat. I need your boat. Hey, I wonder what do you have that Jesus wants to use today? You know, this isn't anything to do with the outline, but God has gifted every one of his children with spiritual gifts. And those ought to be used for the glory of God. Those ought to be used for the kingdom of God. Those ought to be used to bring honor and glory to God. God has gifted you. God has equipped you, not so that you can sit in a seat and just sit there and soak and sour and all the rest of it. No, God has equipped you and God has equipped me to do something for him. Do you have a boat? Would you let him use your boat today? Maybe it's not a boat. Maybe it's your car. Maybe you need to get in your car and you need to drive somewhere and take gospel tracts and hand them out. Maybe you need to use the 2 feet that God has given you and you need to go into a neighborhood and put gospel tracts in mailboxes. I don't know what it is, but God has given you and me many, many ways that we can serve him. In this case, Peter had a possession that God needed. And Jesus said, Peter, I need your boat. What possessions do you have that Jesus needs today that he'd like to use for his honor and glory? Again, that's all free, not even part of the outline. Number one, the challenge. Letter A is launch out into the deep. Jesus tells Peter, okay, Peter, you caught nothing, you have no fish, but go back out to fishing. Verse number 4, we see that. He says, he tells him to let down his nets. Verse number 4, do you see that? Let down your nets, because there is going to be fish. That's what that word draught means. There's going to be a catch. There's going to be blessing. Remember, obedience always brings what, church? Blessing. Mark it down. It always brings blessing. It may not be the blessing you want, but it's the blessing you need. Obedience brings blessing. Pastor Turner, why is it like this in my life? Why is it like this in my family? Why is it like this? And again, it doesn't always necessarily mean this, but just follow the application. Disobedience brings no blessing. Why isn't God blessing my life? Are you obeying God? Remember, the blessing is what you need, not what you want. God's blessing, I want God's blessing on me because God knows what it is that I exactly need in this on this day of this year. I want God's will even in the blessings. Oh, I have some things that I would like God to bless me with, and I don't think they're necessarily wrong to ask for, but we ask for them in God's will and in God's timing. But Jesus says, Jesus could see already ahead and could see the fish coming in the boat, by the way. And so he's giving Peter a chance. Peter, launch out into the deep. I have a blessing for you. I have a blessing for you. But Peter, I'm sure, in his flesh, had absolutely no desire to go back out on the water. In fact, this wasn't the best time even to go the fish were. They had been out all night. And he said, go out into the deep. That's where the biggest catches were. I mean, he could have just gone out off the shore a little bit. It wouldn't have been as difficult, but it took longer to get out there and so forth. So many other things that we could talk about there. But Christ was teaching Peter something. It was a lesson on obedience. If God commands us to do something, God has a reason for it, and God has blessings in store for us, and God has people that we can help, and God has people that we can encourage. And as Christians, I want to encourage you, we can rest knowing that no matter what God tells us to do, and no matter how deep the water gets, He's there with us. The key, go where God tells you to go. Do what God tells you to do. Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What blessings and wondrous works of the Lord are we missing out on because of our reluctance to leave our comfort zone and launch out into the deep? Letter A, launch out into the deep. Letter B, let down the nets. Let down the nets. The word draught in the Greek means a catching or a haul of fish. A catching or a haul of fish. Jesus was literally promising Peter. You see it there in verse 4? Would you look at it please with me? Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. In other words, Peter, if you'll obey me, there's going to be big fish. Peter, if you'll obey me, there's going to be blessing. If you'll follow the instructions, right? God's given us the B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Now, some of them aren't so basic, but the acrostic is something to remember. These are the instructions. This is the manual. Are you going to follow the manual for your life? I'm talking about your Christian life. I'm talking about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the most exciting way to live life is following the will of God. The most exciting, sometimes the most challenging way to live, following the will of God. The faith-building way to live our life is following the will of God. Jesus says, hey, Peter, if you'll just launch out, there's going to be a blessing waiting for you. But you've got to launch out first. The blessing isn't on the shore, Peter. Blessing's in the deep. Oh, it's so much more comfortable on the shore, though. Blessings are, hey, this 2020, I think there's been some deep times in 2020. But I also can tell you right now, my hand is raised, that there have been many blessings of God in the deep in 2020. And I'm thankful for every part of it. I don't understand every part of it, but Jesus, the Bible says, Paul wrote, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's not for everything, it's in everything. So in 2020, we need to be Christians that are giving God thanks for this year. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things. Do we expect God to do great things? Yes, we do. We see it all through the pages of the Word of God. But we also have to do our part. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Let down the nets. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, the God of Peter, the God of William Carey, is our God today as well. If we would let down multiple nets for ministry and for souls and trust God to use us like Peter as fishers of men, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Big number one, the challenge. Tired, worn out, frustrated. The challenge was, Peter, launch out and let down your net. Number two, you see in verse 5, the conflict. The conflict. And Simon answering, I just combined Simon and answering there, quite a word. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You see, many times our problem isn't that we don't understand that we should obey Christ, because we see it woven through Scripture over and over again. And I don't think, if you're saved and been saved for any length of time, I don't think you would say, well, in this area, I don't need to obey God. In this area, I don't need to obey God. I don't think you would say that. Turn with me, if you have your Bible open there, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6 and verse 13. It might be, if you have the book, it's probably maybe typed out for you. The Bible says, neither, Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Remember, Romans was written to Christians. Christians that were in Rome, right? So he's saying, don't, as a Christian, don't yield your members, your hands, your feet, your mind, your body. Don't yield yourself to follow unrighteousness. What's unrighteousness? Sin, doing wrong, going against God's word. He says, but yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves unto obedience as those that are alive from the dead. When you got saved, you were made alive. When I got saved, I was made alive, spiritually speaking. Now I have a new master. I have a new great shepherd. I have a new general, if you will. And the verse ends, it ends with, and your members, yield yourselves unto God, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so now that I'm saved, I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to follow him. I want to be obedient to him. I want to yield to doing right. There's no question in the Bible that we need to do right. It's not the commands of God that are the problem. It's my slowness in obeying that is the problem. It's just my flat-out unwillingness to obey. And I yield to the flesh instead of yielding to the Spirit. Whenever we yield to the flesh, I can tell you, you are not going to obey God. I am not going to obey God when I yield to the Spirit. Paul even talked about this daily, possibly, this conflict. And for time's sake, we won't read the whole passage, but some of you know the passage in Romans chapter number 7. Where Paul talks about the battle and going back and forth and the things that I should do, I don't, and the things that I shouldn't do, I do. And there's that battle that's going on, and he talks about it. In verse number 20, he says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The constant battle that is going on. But remember, we have the ability with the Holy Spirit of God to be a conqueror. We have the ability with the Holy Spirit of God to obey. We can, with the power of God, we can yield our members to righteousness. Letter A, here's what I struggle with. Maybe you do too sometimes. Toiling his own way. Toiling his own way. When Jesus promised a great catch of fish, Peter was skeptical. Notice that we know that Peter was not a novice. Peter was not an amateur. Okay? Peter was a professional fisherman. This wasn't his first time out in the boat. He had done this time and time again. The word toil in verse number 5 speaks of labor
and it speaks of exhaustion. So look at it again. We have toiled all night. We have labored all night. We have worked all night. We are absolutely exhausted, and we caught nothing. We caught nothing. I mean, you would think that we who know what we're doing, we know how to do it, we know where to put the nets, we know what time to start, we know when the fish are hungry or whatever. We've made a study of this. I mean, even though we don't have the underwater sonar system to find the fish, we know where they are. They have those, by the way, today, I guess. And you just put it on your boat and you can see where all the fish are. Peter didn't have one of those, but they were good at their trade. We have toiled all night. We have labored. Nothing has happened. How many of you remember the story of Adoniram Judson? Adoniram Judson was a missionary in the early 1800s. He went to Burma. At that time, they say, there was not one known Christian in the country of Burma. And he preached for 6 years. And not one person, we're told, not one person converted to Christianity. Now, can you imagine that? Year number one goes by, and you've been preaching the Word of God for 1 year, and no one gets saved. You think, okay, it's going to, next year. Year number two, it's going to get better. People are going to get saved. He did that for 6 years. We're told that no one got saved. He was imprisoned under deplorable conditions. His wife Anne died soon after he got out of prison. You talk about toiling. You talk about discouragement. You talk about maybe even depression, spiritually speaking. But he kept on going. He kept on going. He didn't quit. The history tells us that after his death, a government survey showed that Burma's Christian population was around 210,000 people at the time of his death. That's 1 in 58 Burmese at the time of Adoniram Judson's death. There were zero when he came and zero after 6 years, or at least that they knew of. That doesn't mean no one got saved. It's just there were no records of anyone getting saved. But then following his death, wow, what an amazing, amazing testimony. And we talked about this even earlier today. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to encourage you today, Christian brother or sister, you're laboring and you're toiling. Let's not toil our way. Let's toil His way. Let's work for the Lord. Let's continue to move forward by faith. Leave the results to Him. Oh, I like results, don't you? I like to hear when somebody gets saved. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we should praise God when we hear of somebody getting saved. Or praise God when we hear of somebody logging in for the first time to the live stream. Or praise God, whatever it may be that God is doing in and through you. But we see here Peter was toiling his own way. They're tired. But he finally decided to obey. Letter B. Trusting Christ's word. Nevertheless, Peter said, nevertheless, and you remember a time in your life when you were preparing to obey Christ, and what He was asking you to do did not make any sense at all. You didn't see how it would work if you were to obey Him. You didn't see that this was going to turn out right. I think Peter was right there at that very moment. Even when he said, nevertheless, okay, fine. I don't see it, but I'm going to obey even though I don't see it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Turn to Luke, or you're in Luke chapter 5. Look, we didn't read this. I don't think we read this far, but something has captivated me, and that's the beginning of verse 6. Would you look at the beginning of verse 6, Luke 5? See what it says? And when they had this done. Stop right there. And when they had this done. What was done? What was done? What is that talking about? It's when they obeyed the words of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you and I see it. It doesn't matter if we can figure it out. That's not faith anyway. It doesn't matter if we can make logic of it, make sense of it. We need to come to the place in our Christian life where we say, nevertheless, and we need to come to the place in our Christian life where then we have this done. In other words, what is God telling you to do right now and you've refused to do it? It's time to do it. What is God challenging you with? What is God imploring you with? What is God pushing you to do in your life? Remember, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We've got to come to the end of our strength and the end of our what we see and say, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. When they had this done, simple and direct instructions are used throughout Scripture. Remember when Jesus performed the miracle of turning the water to wine? Mary told the people that were there, whatever he tells you to do, remember? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. John chapter number 2. Our problem is we've got to see it and understand it before we obey it. It's kind of like the tithe. A lot of times it's difficult for some Christians to give, to pay the tithe. They can't see how they can survive on 90% of their income. And so they won't tithe because they can't see it. It doesn't make sense. How can I? I'm not even paying my bills right now, and how can I give 10%? By the way, the tithe belongs to the Lord. And when we obey, he brings blessing. I don't know how it worked. I don't know how it's worked for you, but I know how it's worked for me. Every time, God takes care of me. Remember, his blessings don't necessarily match mine. What I think ought to be, but his blessings are the ones I need. But it's all triggered by obedience. Being a witness for Christ. I don't see how anybody would want to hear the gospel. I mean, we're living in such a worldly day. Okay, fine, you can focus on that. Or you can focus on the command to go and preach the gospel. Whatever God has commanded us to do, blessings will come. By not going with the gospel, and you don't have to come here and preach to the camera like this. You don't have to necessarily stand on a street corner and preach. If God tells you to do that, do it. But everybody can be a witness. Everybody can give the gospel. And by the way, it's not an option to consider. It's a command to be obeyed. And obedience brings blessing. Letter A, toiling his own way. Letter B, trusting Christ's word. All right, let's move on here. His working is often contingent upon our obedience. His working is often contingent upon our obedience. God often limits himself to act in response to my obedience. The verse of Scripture I want to point out is Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. When Jesus visited Nazareth, he wanted to do more. He was ready to do a great work. This was his hometown. I want to ask you a question. What is Christ ready to do in your life? What is Christ ready to do in the life of your family? What is Christ ready to do in the life and ministry of Anchor Baptist Church? And the Bible says here, he did not many mighty works because of our unbelief. Let's believe God for more. Let's not only believe him, but let's obey him and watch the great and mighty things come that we know not of. We see, number one, the challenge. Number two, the conflict. Lastly, number three, the confession. Verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw it, what did Simon Peter see? He saw the one ship at the time only. Then they had some help coming. We're going to talk about this quickly, though. What did Simon Peter see? He saw at the end of verse 7, he saw that it took multiple ships, both ships, they began to sink. When Peter saw that, notice his reaction. He goes to his knees. You see it? Verse number 8. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter realized, how could I not immediately obey God, and how could I not immediately fully obey him? You do realize he did not fully obey him, and that's letter A. Letter A is partial obedience. He only let down one net, according to the Bible. Not two nets. Jesus said, let down your nets. He had implicitly instructed Peter to put out more than one net. I don't know why he only put down one net. You could surmise for yourself, but that net began to get full of fish and full of fish and full of fish and began to break, and the other ships came in to help them. What if Peter had obeyed completely? What if Peter had obeyed fully? I think that's part of the reason why, not only the blessing of the fish, but the fact that, man, if I would have only let down both nets. He's a fisherman, right? He's thinking about these things. He's thinking about the numbers. He's thinking about paying the bills at the end of the day. And had he obeyed God fully, I believe that took him to his knees and said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of your blessing. Matthew 6, 31 to 33, God is always able. We can always trust Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God's faithfulness has been proved for thousands and thousands of years. Go back to the manna in the wilderness. They got everything they needed. Go back to Elijah, the food and the water that he was provided in 1 Kings 17. Go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were saved from the fiery furnace. The point is this, obedience always brings blessing. Whatever blessing that God has for you, it's ready. He's wanting to give it. Fully obey Him. Don't just don't just go halfway. Go all the way with God. Letter A, partial obedience. But letter B, praise God for full forgiveness. After Peter realized what Christ had done, he fell down at the Lord's feet. Peter was transformed from the skeptical fisherman to a humbled, broken man in awareness of his unworthiness. And oh, if we would only get there quick, that we are not worthy of anything that God does for us, but only by His grace and only by His mercy do we have anything that we have today. And why would we not want to fully obey Him? Why would we not want to fully follow His will for our life? Thank God for the forgiveness that we have. Full and free, I'm on my way to heaven today because of the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He paid the penalty so that His Father in heaven could forgive a sinner like me. Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. I remember Brother Gord quoting that verse often in prayer as he would pray in our prayer meetings. Peter clearly saw his unworthiness at that moment, and the Lord responded in forgiveness. When we humble ourselves before the Lord in repentance, God always forgives us. Hebrews 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We've been like Peter. I've been like Peter. God's told us to do things from time to time, and we've not obeyed Him right away. We've partially obeyed Him. We've limited the Holy One of Israel. God wants to bless you today. God wants to bless your family. God does bless us today. He has blessed us today. How much more does God have for you? How much more does God have for me that He kind of has over here on the side? And He's waiting. He's waiting for you and for me to launch out into the deep. I can't go over there. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ. Strengthen. Can't approach that family member with the gospel. They didn't want to hear it last night. Yes, you can if God is leading you to do that. Mail them that Christmas card. There's still time. Send them a note. Call them on the phone. I can't witness to this person. I can't do that. I can't. My finances are this. I can't be obedient and tithe. Yes, you can. You can obey. God blesses obedience. Whatever it is. Maybe God wants you to serve Him full time with your life. Have you surrendered to the Lord? Your plans, but I've got it all laid out. I've got this happening, and then this happening, and this happening. I'm 12 years old, and I've got life figured out. I'm just kidding. Give God your life right now. Surrender now that whatever it is God has for you, and it may mean difficulties, it may mean challenges, but along that, He's there. He's in the deep. He's in the boat. He's in the difficulties of life. As in the day of Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ is still commanding, directing, and looking for people who will heed His word. His word for us today, trust and obey, right? Trust and obey. Peter, launch out. Because if you launch out, and he promised it. How many things in this book, how many times in this book did God promise us this and then this, this and then this? When they had done this, the Bible said, when they had this done, boom. The obedience came first, and then what? Blessing. And they had this done. What is it right now that you need to do right now? Right now. God's just waiting to bless in a tremendous way.